Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look. All right, Stu Best here, and we got Larry with us. I hope, Larry, you there?
Oh, I'm here, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Well, no problem. Boy, there's a lot going on all over the world. Where do we start with this? I mean,
it's amazing. I'll tell you what, just bring it on in to anything you want to talk about, and we'll just discuss some of those things that's going on.
Well, why don't we start with this stock market thing? We're consistently losing between 250, 400 points on a daily basis. The China situation, and I don't know if you recall, but there was a Christian or several Christians that had visions, I guess, or what they thought were visions about the global economy falling apart, and it would begin in China, then circle around the world and hit Europe, and then finally it would hit the United States. Have you heard any more about the Chinese situation?
I haven't heard much, except that they're really watching closely. Now, what's interesting, Stuart, if you followed some of this a few weeks ago, there began to be some activity, and probably by the rich men, of course, where they were beginning to try to put the yuan, the Chinese so-called dollar, I guess you could say, into activity and begin to use it in the markets. You know, they're all markets and the different markets, and what appeared to be a little bit of a move to replace the dollar standard. And so we watched that for just a little bit, and then that's when they begin to have what some people refer to as the economic wars begin, that when the yuan began being stabilized in the markets, there was an attack on the yuan, so to speak, from unknown people, and it began the troubles in the Chinese markets. Of course, the Chinese markets, as we well know, Stuart, has long been government controlled. I mean, it's not like somewhat like our markets, but it's more government controlled. And
yes,
you're dealing a lot of it with the Chinese army when you're dealing with some of that activity. So now, suddenly, we've had some really, really troubles in the Chinese markets that have affected now, which appears to be the U.S. dollar and where our markets are going. And there is a lot of trouble. I mean, we're having trouble. And matter of fact, on Fox today, they had some specials, and they were warning that unless something happens to give some stability to the markets, including China first, that we may be in serious, serious trouble and go into recessions. So, you know, there we are, and you're right, Stuart. There's been some prophecies, older prophecies, you know, about this type of activity, and that may be what we're seeing. That may be where we're going a little bit.
Well, you know, it's curious that they had a story, and I don't know if you saw it or not, about Chinese billionaires vanishing.
I did.
Well,
I did.
Are these the guys that are shaking the market, and so the government arrested them, or are these guys the ones that are just so-called disappearing to ride out the storm?
Well, I look at it two ways, Stuart, and I don't know the truth of the matter. I did see the information that's coming in, and I look at it two ways, and here's the two ways I'm looking. I'm not sure which one's accurate, but number one, they began to see this coming and how bad this may be worldwide, and so a lot of the rich men involved in China began to go underground to try to ride this out, go to safe ports, so to speak. And if that's not the scenario that's occurring right now, in other words, if the rich men in China aren't actually going into the places of safety, then they may be literally being knocked off or disappearing, somewhat like we've seen in scientists and, you know, those type of people that have disappeared permanently.
Yeah, they just sort of vanish and you don't hear from them again. Of course, how many dead scientists do we have in the vaccination and antiviral fields? And then we had a bunch of scientists disappearing on the Planet X. Anybody that seemed to reveal anything about Planet X kind of sort of died. You know, they have their ways of doing it. But I was curious about it because these, if we are going into a global collapse, there was somebody that put out a thing on, they called it, I think, 777. And what it had to do with what's happening now is a prelude to what is coming on October 3rd. In other words, October 3rd, there will be a total collapse. And it has to do with timelines and that. So almost like the I Ching, what did they call that, 0 point or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. But it's we are in very, how do I say, precarious times here. And, you know, I think a lot of Christians have been mocking the fact. Let's get into that a little bit, too. Eli Rip, Glazerson. Now, these guys, as I understand it, are some of the world's greatest mathematicians. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Eli Rip, you know, he actually came from Russia after he set himself on fire to get out of there, actually. And Eli Rips was he under the Russian oligarchy, and he was put in a camp, and he literally worked in that camp with a pencil and paper and did codes in those camps, and he decided life wasn't worth living anymore and wanted out of Russia. One way or the other, so he literally soaked rags and fuel and stuffed them in his clothes and went out in the outside the barracks area there. And, of course, he didn't want a crowd, but he drew one anyway when you in a place like that, I guess. And he literally lit himself on fire. He became a pyre of fire. And people jumped on him and got him down and got the fire out, and that put him in the hospital for a time. And then later, they actually let him go, and he actually made his way to Israel and became a really incredible mathematician. Matter of fact, I've had – this is what's interesting, Stuart. I've had some contact with Eli Rips. He actually is at the Hebrew University there in Jerusalem, and he's a mathematician just by far above most of the others, and he's the first one that ever told me – one-on-one, that the Torah codes are not just layered like you would read a book or a printout. He told me that they had found that the Torah codes are multidimensional.
You know, you saw the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, right?
Yes.
Do you remember how they cracked the code?
I do.
When it went three-dimensional.
That's right. You know, at first it was just sound. They were picking up a sound, you know, from another. They thought from another planet or somewhere or another galaxy, you know, and then they began to remember. They found out the most astonishing thing was that there was pictures involved. You know, they found video embedded in the sound, and then on top of that, this is what really is makes you wonder. There was, you know, they developed the diagram or the blueprint of this device that was also embedded in the video that was in the sound. And it was multidimensional activity. And matter of fact, that thing apparently, now I saw the movie, it was a little hard to keep up with, but apparently it would take you to other dimensions, the device itself. And
yes.
What you're saying now, though, is incredible. And that's what Rips was telling me, that the Torah codes themselves are actually multidimensional. And these guys have got, you know, just like Glazerson, I follow a lot of his work through Richard Shaw, who's a personal friend of his. And
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
have really come out with stuff on 2016, you know, which is 5776.
Well, this is what I was driving at. You've got these mathematicians that are experts, okay? They're claiming that we have actually entered into Daniel's 70th week, is from what I can gather, the final 7 years. Is that not right?
It appears to be. That's and what's interesting, some of the most recent Torah codes that they've done are revealing 2016 or 20 or what they their Hebrew year 5776. We are in that now.
Right.
As being, they've found a number of Messiah codes, and it is an announcement that the Messiah is coming. And matter of fact, there are rabbis that are declaring now that the Messiah is already here. He just hasn't been revealed. And, of course, I can't verify any of that, of course. But we are in a very unique time in history. And, you know, I thought today before our show started how that you told me one time, you said, if I ever see, you know, Isaiah 17, or if I ever see Damascus, you know, completely destroyed, you know, I'll know exactly what time it is in Scripture. And, you know, recently, and I know you've seen some of the video, the Russian video of the attacks in Damascus, and they are literally, and matter of fact, I talked to Richard Shaw, who just came back from Israel, and he
mm-hmm.
said that Russia and the other nations, they are literally destroying Damascus, Syria, block by block, where nothing lives anymore.
So it's becoming a ruinous heap.
Absolutely. And we never thought that way. We never imagined Russian tanks and Russian bombers would be obliterating block by block of Damascus, Syria. We always thought, and I may be wrong, you know, this is ongoing, and they're saying that nothing lives. When they bomb these and wipe out one whole block and then they go to the next block, that there's nothing left alive there. Nothing can live there. And, you know, we always thought maybe Israel would nuke Damascus, but you know, I don't know. It may work out different.
Yeah, all I know is it says that because of the children of Israel, but that could mean we did it or we forced Russia into it. I mean, after all, are we not trying to force Putin's hand to initiate World War III? It seems like If we're heading into an economic collapse, at least historically, it seems they go to war. They rally everybody around the war front, and they just keep, it seems, baiting Putin. No matter what he does, they bait him again, and they bait him again, and they bait him again. And I'm just wondering how much patience he's going to actually show. And also, I'm wondering, is he a wild card? Like, I believe Netanyahu is a wild card.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I totally agree with you on that. And now here's a scenario that's going on today that's
yes.
not getting any news. We're not hearing anything about it much. You know, of course, Obama has abandoned so-called the Middle East and Israel and all of those over there. You know, Jordan can't even get help. And the anomaly is, and I call it an anomaly, the anomaly is over there that Netanyahu, who I've always thought was a wild card, and so have you, and Putin, who I've always kind of felt like might be a wild card, and I know you feel that way too,
mm-hmm.
they're getting along right now. And I don't know if they'll be getting along tomorrow, but today they're getting along, and they're coordinating strikes, and even Russia is allowing Israel to attack Gaza from the air still, even though they've got those S-400 missile shields up, and they're allowing
mm-hmm.
them to actually bomb Hezbollah rocket movements, you know, within the edge of Damascus and at the Damascus airport. They're allowing Israel to attack them with their planes, and you know, again, the S-400 missile systems Russia has over there has coverage over that area, but they're not stopping Israel. Now, at the same time, a couple of days ago, the King Abdullah of Jordan has been trying for a long time. He's kind of like the Kurds. You know, he and the Kurds both have been trying to get U.S. help to, you know, fight ISIS, and they're not getting it, okay? They're just simply not getting the help. He had an emergency trip to he landed at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland. Obama would not meet him at the White House. Obama actually drove to the Air Force Base, met with him, only gave him only 5 minutes, Stuart. I've seen the reports on it. 5 minutes to talk to him and left. And you know what Abdullah did? Abdullah went back to Jordan, and he is now, according to Israeli intelligence, Abdullah and Putin have opened a coordinated command center in Jordan that'll cover Jordan and southern Syria.
So Obama must have told him no deal.
Apparently so. I can't say that. I don't know that. But it looks like that when Obama turned him down, and can you believe the King of Jordan comes on a quick trip to meet with Obama, and they won't even invite him to the White House? He has to meet him at an Air Force base and gets five minutes.
This is, you know, the way Obama treated Netanyahu, let him out the garbage gate, you know, snub him, be rude. So Obama, we know Obama's is a Muslim. He says he is. He's people all over this country just can't evidently get that through their head that we are actually dealing with the Muslim Brotherhood, of which Obama, as I understand it, is pretty well packed his White House with the Muslim Brotherhood people.
Morsi, you know, who was set up as, you know, when Mubarak was brought down, and of course we know Obama was behind that, he set up the Muslim Brotherhood and Morsi to take Mubarak's place. Now, Mubarak received the leadership of Egypt after, what was the guy's name that was Mubarak was under there that was killed, the one that actually did the peace process with Rabin?
I know who you mean, and I just can't.
And immediately, I can see his face, but I can't think
of his
name.
Yes, I can too.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, he was assassinated, and then Rabin was assassinated. But
Nasser, wasn't it Nasser?
No, it was the one after Nasser. Nasser trained him.
Boy, I can see his face, but I can't tell you the name.
He had a very thin face. Well, we're all getting old, Stuart. Even I feel like I'm doing that. But anyway, this is what's interesting. I saw some reports by the daughter, Anwar Sadat. That was his name, Anwar Sadat.
Yep.
And I saw the daughter of Anwar Sadat later, after Morsi took over with Obama's assistance of Egypt, and she said, Morsi had my daddy assassinated, and pointed the finger at him. And it wasn't long before El-Sisi, who was a general in the Egyptian army, actually deposed Morsi, and he's in prison now facing a possible death sentence. And El-Sisi has he's actually went to Russia's side and abandoned Obama and the U.S. And so we really, when you look back, you can see that Obama apparently was a main person behind this push of this Arab Spring, and was trying to bring down all of the leaders and this, what appears to be a building of the caliphate. And then again, you have the reports of ISIS being formed by the CIA and Obama and with the help of Turkey and Erdogan. And see, it's just a really incredible scenario that's been building. You know, we're at least to the point we can look back now and connect some dots.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Turkey, according to prophecy, sides ultimately with the Soviets. So, well, I call them the Soviets because I don't think they ever truly broke up. But according to prophecy, he's going to side with Putin. Now, I did see where Putin more or less told them that they were probably insane and maybe smoking too much pot or whatever it was. for them to, antagonize Putin with all the equipment now he has. And I don't trust any of this because I'm fully aware of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And Putin and those guys all come down upon the mountains of Israel. Well, he's virtually down on the mountains of Israel.
Well, they're right on the border. I mean, yeah, he's right there. Hezbollah forces, Syrian forces, Russian forces, Iranian forces, they are right now basically on the Lebanese border with Israel and the Sinai border with Israel, which is Egypt, you know, with Israel right now. They're fighting. There's still some battling going on between the so-called Turkish and U.S.-backed, what they call rebels in Syria, fighting Assad. However, you've got a pretty good-sized army already on the Golan, as they call it. That's where a lot of it's massed, about 9 miles inside. And you've got ISIS right there, too. There's an army there if somebody wants to put them together and use them to move on Israel, you know.
Well, my point was, I guess, do you believe that Putin is doing what he's doing? In other words, siding up next to Netanyahu, I'm your buddy and I'm going to help you. When in reality, what they're doing is setting the stage for the annihilation of Israel or the attempted annihilation of Ezekiel 38, 39.
Well, it's certainly possible. I mean, probably Israel should be so used to being betrayed by now. I can't see how they could trust anybody. However, it seems they are trusting Russia in this latest episode, you know, in Syria.
Because maybe they feel they have to.
Well, that's just what's interesting, Stuart. I don't know if you know of an author named Dan Gordon.
I've heard the name.
Well, he wrote, if you ever watched the movie Wyatt Earp on television, he wrote it, actually.
Oh.
Dan Gordon, he just wrote a book out talking about warning people about the underground tunnels, not only the ones coming out of Gaza in Israel, but also the underground tunnels in the Mexican border. I mean, his book he just put out. Which is really an incredible book. I'm trying to see if I can find.
Well, that's fascinating.
What's interesting about it, Dan is also, I think he got promoted, but he was a captain in the IDF reserves. And, of course, he's a filmmaker in Hollywood also. And I've done some radio shows with him. He's a good friend of Richard Shaw's. But I did ask him one time in a personal phone conversation right after he got back from the last Gaza fighting that they had over there. And I asked him, I said, well, what is Israel trying to do right now? I said, everybody in the world has got them surrounded almost. The U.S. doesn't back them anymore. We betray them all the time. What is Israel trying to do? What's your plans for the next fight, which appears to be a fight against Iran-backed Gaza, West Bank, and Hezbollah missiles all at one at the same time, an attack from all sides, you know. And I was asking him, what is the point? Where's Israel going from here? And you know what he told me? He told me something very telling. And I didn't have time to get into any details, but you know what he told me? He said, Israel is fighting for time. That's it.
So
the interesting thing is Israel really has researched a lot of Torah code work. Not only that, you know, of course, you and I both know how Torah code from Michael Drosnin years and years ago saved Benjamin Netanyahu's life, you know, when he was the prime minister the first time. And they have people that work these things. They work the Torah codes. They work the prophecies. They work all of this stuff. And, of course, we learned later that Russia's doing similar stuff. The U.S. is also researching a lot of that data, trying to find secrets and where things may lead. And it's all intelligence. But this is what's interesting. Does Israel really know how bad this is going to get for them and how this may be the last straw, so to speak? And is Israel only playing for time to either the attack they can't defend against, or which would be a worldwide attack on them, or is Israel playing for time until the Messiah returns, or, you know, whichever Messiah comes, you know?
So maybe they're working on a weapon of some sort.
Well,
and
they
it's not quite perfected.
They have got weapons that, and this is, I'll tie this in so people will know I'm really from the edge, okay? you know, you mentioned the term paranormal as the show started. We'll go there just for a minute. You know, you remember the guy that wrote the book, The Return of the Giants?
Yes.
Anyway, you know, he lost all credibility as a reporter and a journalist because he wrote the book. But there has been recorded, and he recorded those events, there has been some return of some type of craft, interdimensional craft, in the area of Israel and inside Israel proper that we've not been told about, you know, other than we just get the little clues. You know, his name was Barry Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H.
Oh, yes, yes, sure.
Chamish wrote The Return of the Giants, and then he had to kind of eat it because, not that it wasn't true, not that his photographs were false, he had to eat it because the whole world and everybody that wanted secrets kept secret was on him, and he even had to leave Israel. But some of the data that came out of some of his research and other things was that the Israeli government and whoever were in these craft had meetings. Now, whatever that means, I don't know. I wasn't there. However, you know, we've had the same scenarios around the world and other places, but we did see after the reports and after his book and after these so-called meetings, we did see something really strange. We saw something come out of Israel that I believe Israel had it first and then shared it with the U.S., and then they used it against Iran. It was a cyber attack called Stuxnet that nobody had ever seen before.
I remember that, now that you mention it. That was used for Iran, right?
Yes, it was. It brought them down. It gave years, and it destroyed. It kept on destroying. They couldn't stop it. When it got in those computers and those networks, it kept going. It wouldn't stop. And now, I'll tell you what. I heard some talk from. There's two people. You've heard of this in cybersecurity. One of them's Kaspersky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Russian. And then there's McAfee, you know, John McAfee. That's
John
American.
McAfee, yes. Yes.
Which, he actually operated in other areas of the world. But John McAfee and Kaspersky both have come out in the last year or so and said that this Stuxnet has evolved in cyberspace. And it's no longer what it was. And it's moved on. And it's doing other things. And that the whole world is in trouble because of Stuxnet, and it's just not under control, but nobody talks about it. It's a secret. So you see, we don't really know what's going on. We wish we did. We think we do, but we don't know.
Well, there's an old saying that if you've seen it in the movies, you know, it's probably been done long ago. And so when you go see a sci-fi movie and you look at it, you say, boy, that was a good movie, but they couldn't possibly have something like that, when in actuality they do have something like that. Some years ago, and I don't remember how long ago it was, getting old now, but we had a fellow at one of our seminar meetings who was an Israeli who claimed that Israel already had developed cloaking devices. And that the raid on Entebbe actually did use a cloaking device. They could hear the airplane land. They could hear it taxiing in, but they couldn't see it.
Hmm.
So it was sort of dismissed as some aberration of some sort. But then when the cloaking device came undone, then the raid began, and they got, you might remember, they got just about everybody out, if I recall, on that raid in Entebbe, as far as I know.
Well, that's where, that was where Benjamin Netanyahu's brother, who was in command, I think, was killed in that raid. He was one of them killed.
In that, yes, that's right. Now, I don't know if that was true or not, but he swore up and down that they had a cloaking device, that they'd already worked it out. And, of course, then you go see movies like, the one with Spock and whatnot. And what do they have? Cloaking devices.
Well, let me tell you a story. You want to hear a story?
I sure do.
This is actually a true story. Richard Shaw told it to me after his last trip to Israel, and he has the connections to know of such things. And we're talking about technology in Israel. And you remember the guy in Damascus that recently he was one of Iran's top men. He was actually Hezbollah. He worked for the Hezbollah bunch, but
mm-hmm.
Nasrallah. But his name was Fatah or something like that. He was in Damascus. Remember, Israel assassinated him.
Yes, they do. Yep.
Okay. Well, just before that occurred, and he was assassinated. It's very interesting. Some of those folks, I'm just going to call it that, some of those folks, I want to identify who they are. But anyway, he sent a package to Benjamin Netanyahu personally, a box. And they said what was so strange was the box came and they were afraid it might be an explosive device of some kind, and they were really wary of it, but it was opened. And when Benjamin Netanyahu looked in it, it was a box of dung. Now, you know what dung is, do you not?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's stuff that puts you in deep doo-doo. And so anyway, nobody can say that we're not on the ground floor, can we? But anyway, this is a true story now. They said that Benjamin Netanyahu sent a package, a small box, back to this leader. And he's a really important guy in the Islamic Arab community. And he sent it back to the very one that had sent him the box of dung, which at first they thought might have been a bomb or an explosive device. And when the guy opened it, they said it was a small little cyber cube that when it was keyed, it actually gave a holographic projection of Netanyahu talking. And it actually projected an image, in midair, and it was Netanyahu talking back to this guy that sent him that other box. And he said, we received what you sent us, your best gift that you could send, but we sent you back our best gift that we could send, and I guess what you sent was all you had available. That's what your people produce. That's what you had available, the best that you could produce. Now, we send you now what the best we can produce, and you can look at it and listen to it over and over and over. That's a true story, Stuart. That just happened not long ago.
Well, I would not doubt that at all, actually, because holographic, and we're getting into another area, but that brings us right into Project Bluebeam, which is essentially a holographic device, right?
That's true.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that's the guy that really was behind all of that in Canada, Serge Manasseh. You know, he was assassinated, killed.
I know. But what I'm driving at here is you've seen, if you've been watching any of the UFO stuff that you see on YouTube, now a lot of that obviously is fake. A lot of it's disinformation, misinformation, whatever you want to call it. But it seems to me that some of these videos that are coming in from various parts of the world, and you see these, there was one that just came in. In fact, I think you're the one who sent it on your news flash, the one with the airliner and the and a passenger saw this strange looking thing walking on the clouds. Was that
That's
you
right.
that sent that? Well,
yeah, I'm aware of that one. Yeah.
There was another one of a very strange looking UFO, kind of was on the top of the clouds. Then it kind of descended into the clouds. Is this, and now we've got all these sounds that are coming down, you know, the scraping sounds and very strange things that people are hearing all over the world. And I relate this back to Project Bluebeam. Do you suppose that what everybody is watching, these UFOs, strange shapes, even possibly these TR-3Bs, et cetera, et cetera, do you suppose this is holographic projection techniques and they're just testing it out to see what people do along with audio testing?
Well, it certainly possibly could be. You may be exactly right. We know for some time that they've been doing this activity. Now, the holographic imagery that Israel just used in that projection, you know, that they sent to someone else, that was incredible. But Bluebeam would just simply be the same thing probably, but on a larger scale.
Yeah, a global scale. And it would
global
be done
scale.
From, yeah, it would be done from satellite. But, you know, I've seen those movies. In fact, I think it was a Superman movie where, you know, he had the device and it projected the guy telling Superman who he was and what he was about, and where he came from and all that. And it was a projection out of this little device that they had.
That's very true. Yeah. And a matter of fact, I remember some of the early, I'm going to show my age here, but the early Star Wars. Remember the original Star Wars movie that came out and, you know, this Leia did a projection of herself and sent it to somebody, you remember, by the
yes.
robot?
Yes,
and,
I do remember
it,
that.
It actually, yeah, it projected out of the robot and into a hologram, and she talked and gave a message, you know. The movies have been showing us a lot of this stuff for some time, but, you know, I know a lot of people don't click on it as real. They think in their minds this is just a movie. It's all a movie.
Well, they're doing it even on TV. They're starting to have performers on that aren't there. They're holographic. I think it was NBC or Fox or somebody like that ran a couple of those, and people really could not tell the difference, which, of course, kind of leads you into the possibility is of the image of the beast. And causing
right.
people to bow down and do what the image of the beast tells them to do. But the reason I'm bringing it up is that it just seems like these odd shapes that are now showing up, they've got these floating cities now that people are seeing. That sounds an awful lot to me like Bluebeam Project and experimenting, getting ready for their false messiah. I don't know.
It very possibly could be. We know they've been testing some of this stuff for a while. And really, you know, this is what's interesting, too, is the fact that, the human's eye, it's limited in scope. In other words, certain light spectrums, you can't really see anything with the human eye. That's why a lot of times some of these cameras and Richard Shaw talks about this, a lot of the UFO activity going on, the real stuff, you have to use certain cameras to capture those images and the data in them, because the human eye, if the human eye just looks up, you don't see anything. It's invisible, or like you said, cloaked. And to the human eye, but when, we're the same way, the human is the same way with sounds. We're limited in the frequencies we can really hear with the human ear, and we're limited
right.
with the human eye of what we can really see. And it seems like Bluebeam may play on those, but even may go further than that.
Yeah, they've even talked about how they can project this into the mind so that you think you're God, whosoever he is, depending on where you are around the world, is speaking to you directly. Because they can, this is, of course, all, it all goes back into kind of like Mel Gibson's movie Conspiracy Theory, where, you know, they were playing with his mind, and I can't remember the title of that program. Remember what that was? It was a CIA.
I believe Conspiracy Theory was the title, I think.
Yes. Yeah, it was. But there was MK Ultra. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah,
they really were. They were playing with all this stuff. But it seems to me now we're kind of getting into the paranormal, but people are seeing weird things, and they're reporting them now all over the world, and it seems to be almost a daily occurrence. And you've had some experiences down there where you are. By the way, down there where you are, how come you guys are the earthquake capital of the world virtually now?
Oh my God, Stuart! It's well, you remember me talking to you about the time I had that vision of a massive crack in the earth.
Yes, I do.
Everybody, of course, everybody thinks that's hooey, but anyway, I really did see that, and I have some friends that are involved in the fracking industry, and you know, when we begin to have these, and of course, you know, they don't even actually locate the New Madrid in Oklahoma. They don't even indicate, the maps don't even show it goes there. However, we've been having North Oklahoma City, you and I were doing the conversations tapes years ago, talking about the methane gas coming right out of the riverbed and shooting into the sky and shooting water. and
I remember
we've had these anomalous seismic activities that they have covered up for a long, long time, but they've got to be so many of them. And of course, when these begin to occur in central Oklahoma, and we feel it here too, you know, the people that do the fracking tell me that when you have earthquakes that begin to be above 2 or 3, that's not fracking. That's a horse of another feather, so to speak. You're dealing with something else. This is not fracking quakes. That fracking quakes are small quakes that are caused by the injections and the activity underground, and it usually is never below, only a few miles. It's very, very close to the surface. There are earthquakes that run up maybe to a 2 in magnitude, but they usually, you get a 2 or above 2, 2.5, or a 3, and now we had a 4 today in Oklahoma, Stuart, and a lot of these are running almost to 5s. This is not fracking. This is something else. And, of course, you know, in the great world of denial tea, you know, we probably can't go there. But there is something really happening deep underground, even through our area here in Oklahoma. It's ongoing, and it stretches into Texas. And I'll tell you what it reminds me of. You remember when they came out with a couple of one movie called 10.0, and then they had apocalypse, I think they had.
Well, yes,
you remember
it was. Yeah.
The one in Apocalypse where the crack was going towards a Texas nuclear station.
Yep.
If you remember, a lot of that crack started out in California, the Northwest, and then it came and come down through Kansas and Oklahoma and down into Texas. As a matter of fact, it ended up, remember, in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes, it did.
These quakes, if you watch them and follow them, it's kind of along that same region that they made those 10-point, whatever that was, and 10-point apocalypse. They made those two movies. It's kind of that same scenario in a way. And, it's amazing, but we are beginning to have lots and lots of earthquake movement. Matter of fact, stirred up here, we see them drilling down in the roadways a lot and working our bridges here. And I asked them one time, why are they drilling down? They said to see if the ground's still stable under the roads.
Oh, really?
A lot of movement. Yeah, we're in the mountains here, you know.
Well, what's interesting to me is we have the Mid-Continent Rift. I posted a blog on it, I don't remember, some time ago now, but if you take the Mid-Continent Rift, which starts up in Lake Superior, runs down through basically Minneapolis, St. Paul, kind of veers over and away from the Mississippi for a while, then comes back in. And if you connect that mid-continent rift, possibilities of the New Madrid situation, and I don't think they really know where all these fault lines are, or if they do, they're not saying. And this takes us, of course, to Obama and his insistence that Israel be divided into two places. And I'm you remember the dreams of these, well, one of them, I think, was a little boy, wasn't it? Or a little girl who said the Lord told her that if the United States forces the land division of Israel, that God was going to snap the United States into two parts.
That's right.
And if you follow the new Madrid, and then you connect that, and it's only like a 200 or 300 mile jump to the mid-continent rift, you would have, and I know a lot of the seers and all that have all said, including Red Elk, that the Great Lakes are going to empty basically into the Gulf.
That's true. That's true.
Now,
matter of fact,
now that,
Stan, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to mention that, you know, Stan Deo began, you know, he said there'd be a lot of these quakes, and he was watching a lot of these quakes, and he gave a warning one time years ago. He said, when you ever begin to see the earthquakes happen in the Gulf of Mexico, though, he said, that's a different ball game, and he said, that's a change, and he said, you better watch out.
Well, you know, it's interesting because almost all the seers and mystics claim that basically there's an inland sea that opens up all the way through the Great Lakes. Now, Darnett didn't she have several visions, or I don't know if you'd want to call them, or she would call them visions about a major earthquake that struck. And she was in, I think she said she was in Dallas or Fort Worth at the time.
That's true.
And it really just about destroyed all the roadways and everything. And then you had that vision of the huge rift that opened up down there by, what was it, Broken Bow?
Yeah, around that area. And also... I met and talked to an older woman that's passed away now in Arkansas when we first moved to Arkansas, and she had gone up on a mountain around Mena, Arkansas, and prayed and fasted, and she said the Lord finally showed her, this is what he showed her. She said he showed her a great earthquake that came, and that the Gulf of Mexico literally came up to Arkansas.
What?
Yep. That's what she said, and she talked about. She said that she got a map and drew it out, and she said she thought the Gulf actually came all the way as far as it's down by Eagletown, Dequeen, Arkansas. That's the name of the town she gave me on the map.
That's quite a jump, though. I mean, that's kind of an inland Gulf at that point.
That's true.
You know what's strange?
Yeah, what's strange, Stuart, is there's a lot of limestone rock formations all the way up into this area. This used to be an inland sea.
Yes. Yes, it is. What's very interesting, you know, the lake, Devil's Lake in North Dakota, is still expanding, and it's still swallowing up.
That.
Yeah, it's still expanding. And Native American legend says that North Dakota really was underwater at one time. It was a huge lake there. And it's so, you know, we got all these earth changes going on. And it just makes you wonder. And remember, David Wilkinson had that vision. He said that a huge earthquake, larger than anything the United States had ever seen before, hit in an area that was unknown, basically, for earthquakes. So that might put us into the Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Minnesota area, because basically we are not earthquake prone here.
Well, that's very true. And Yeah, I remember well one time y'all had an earthquake, on, I believe, to the east. And I tried to find it on a map, and I went to check Wisconsin, and they said you don't have they don't have any maps because they don't have any earthquakes.
Yes, but we did have one. In fact, I happened to be in the house when it happened, and you could definitely feel it. And there have been some other strange occurrences here. There was a lady over in Eau Claire that had plasma balls coming up out of her lawn and floating around. Now, that's indicative of earthquakes, subterranean earthquakes, I guess, or earth movement, I guess one could say. You know, and that was several years ago. But remember Larry, I think it was Larry Parks, who wrote that book on earthquakes? And they shut him up real quick. But he was the one who talked about earthquake booms, that some of these booms that people are hearing are probably earthquake booms. You may not feel anything, or you may get a slight tremble, but it's a loud report, almost like an aircraft breaking a sound barrier. But what I'm getting at, I guess there's got to be a lot of shifting going on. I mean, you guys down there are getting, didn't they have an earthquake in New Jersey just a little bit ago that's extremely rare?
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, it just makes you wonder, how long do we have before some of this stuff really starts to take off on us? I don't know.
Well, I, have you heard about that Elise Canyon in by L.A., Los Angeles?
Yes.
Ethane break?
Yes. What's the latest on that?
That is massive, and this is it. Actually, Richard Shaw lives at Porter Ranch, and this is only a mile from his house. And he said everybody is sick. He's even been coughing up some blood and said the animals are dying or dead already and that they're evacuating quite a few. But he says they apparently are not able to shut off completely. He said it's like the deep horizon well, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, they can't shut it down.
And the pressure, he said they've slowed some of the pressure, but he said that it's still coming out, and now what they're beginning to find, according to news reports, he said also, he told me there's nuclear stuff under there, too, and it's coming up.
Oh, boy.
Radiation. And it's a total disaster. I mean, this is a terrible thing, and, of course, he said that the governor there, Jerry Brown, delayed warning people, delayed letting the media get a hold of it and warn people because he's involved with the oil industry. And that's what this is all about, oil and gas, you know. And so it's not good, and they're keeping it pretty much a secret, but there's a lot of people going to be looking for a lot of places to live if it doesn't change, if something doesn't change there.
Well, then you also got the Fukushima situation, the radiation coming in off the Pacific. And they've
That's
been
crazy.
Kind of burying that. They don't even talk about it anymore. But evidently, the radioactive levels are way, way above normal. And I've been hearing reports off and on, I'm sure you have too, of malformed babies. And now we've got this huge die-off in the Pacific, washing up on shore all the way up through to Alaska. So
it's
sort of... So sort of an extinction level event, I guess, of sorts. Anyway, I don't know. Let's switch horses here a little bit. What do you think about this Oregon situation? Have you heard any more about that?
You're talking about the militias there?
The Bundy brothers and that takeover of the, let alone the earthquakes and everything that's going on up there. But, you know, the takeover of...
Yeah, it's kind of odd to me for them to go take over. You know, what they took over was not an occupied building. It was literally federal buildings on land that, you know, of course, the government takes that they house some of these firefighters in during the fire season. And it's, you know, all these this militia group comes in and takes it over, and they're calling in more militias or trying to from different parts. It makes you wonder about where does a so-called civil war or civil rebellion start. And, you know, I'm watching that very closely out there. There seem to be nobody moving on one end or the other right now. But, you know, if they go the way they went with Waco, it'll certainly it'll be a big problem, probably.
Yeah, it'd be a bloodbath if they actually do go down on those people. But I'm curious about why they're doing this now. It's almost like the Bureau of Land Management is bullying these people almost to the point where they hope they do take up arms.
Well, I'll tell you what, sir. If you look at what's been going on with the IRS for a long time and all the government agencies, basically, it's like they're egging on the American people to cause a rebellion. It's almost like they really do want one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think they do, actually. I think they would use that. If they can goad the American people into taking up arms, then they can squash them or try to. I don't think this is going to be quite as easy as they think it might be. But if you read Jeremiah and Isaiah, the prophecies against the United States, our open borders were openly stated there in Jeremiah. Remember, I'm going to fill you with foreigners. And basically, at the right time, they're going to rise up and they're going to start fires in your cities. And then we are attacked from without. And, I read a report. I don't know if you posted it or who did, that they had imported something like 100,000 or 10,000. I don't know what you could call them, Muslims, through UPS.
Well, I tell you what, they were flying them in on UPS planes, plane load after plane load. This is not the ones that they were going to, you know, bring in and bus around. And this is a whole different ball game. And you know what I thought about, Stuart? You remember when we did the early conversations years ago when Obama first came into office? You remember what he said? We need another army, a well-armed army, just like the U.S. Army. Is this Obama's new army that he's been bringing in for a long time?
Well, he's committed to toppling the United States, and unfortunately, he's got enough of our own military that are committing treason to go along with it. I don't know, you know, it'd be nice if they'd just read their Bible. They wouldn't have anything to do with it, but they don't, nor will they. You know, if you read Jeremiah, Isaiah, they don't really talk about a revolution as you or I would think of it. They claim ruler against ruler, authority against authority, meaning that there's a lot of infighting, I'm presuming, between governors and the feds. Or maybe county officials against the state. More of a breakdown and more of a internal kind of leadership revolution than a people revolution. I know they're pushing for a revolution. Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, we have examples of that occurring right now in Texas. Texas is doing exactly in rhetoric and threats to the federal government, exactly what you're talking about, the scenario you're saying. Texas has already begun that. It began under, the previous
governor, yes.
Governor, and now under Abbott, it's even stronger. So you may be right. And you're right. The scriptures do say ruler against ruler or governor against governor or officials. I'm one of those, Stuart, and I've wondered a long time, I didn't understand the power of denial juice, and I never understood how Art Bell was so correct in saying that the American people couldn't even get up enough gumption to get off the couch and change the channel if it didn't like what they was watching. They wouldn't change the channel even.
I know,
and so
yeah,
now I have
that.
To say, yeah, it would almost have to be a ruler against ruler to even fight, because the American people don't appear to have any in them.
Well, you know, that's sad, but unfortunately it's true. And of course, Obama is now coming in the back door for gun control, And I don't hear a lot of rhetoric coming out of Congress to stop it. I mean, there may be a little bit of feistiness there, but all in all, I think he is going to get his way. And I guess that kind of brings us, you know, to the point where if he does grab power or attempts to grab total power, would our governors stop it or rise up against it, or would they just go under it? We really don't know. But an awful lot of these sheriffs, and including this one out there in Oregon, definitely not on the side of the Bundy brothers. And even Mack, who has retired now, I guess, but Sheriff Mack was saying he did not really agree with what they had done, but he understood it. Evidently, BLM has been just burning down buildings, fences, killing cattle, burning them up, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, how long do the ranchers have to put up with this stuff? And it all sounds an awful lot like Agenda 21, Agenda 30 of the United Nations. And, you know, a lot of this began right after the Pope and Obama shook hands there on 9/23. Then they go to the UN and they kick off this Agenda 30. And now I understand there's an Agenda 50 as well, which is even worse than 30. 30 is far worse than 21. And the United Nations is just coming in and taking over. And, of course, a long time ago, I thought that prophecy said, anyway, that the United Nations was the final beast power that the world would see. It may be modified slightly, but it does seem to be rising up very, very rapidly and taking control over everything in America. So I don't know.
Well, yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, something that we can throw into the pie that sure stirred up a lot of controversy when we had the show with Richard Shaw and Augusto Perez was the fact that, I don't know if you've seen that recent, it's a interview out of Israel of this 15-year-old mm-hmm. boy named Nathan that had apparently died and was taken to heaven and shown things about the future on the way back. And I don't know if you've seen that or not. It's actually in Hebrew, the whole meeting. It's in front of a bunch of rabbis, and
mm-hmm.
they're trying to actually keep their minds on how this is happening, because they're talking about stuff. This boy was shown that you had to be there to know it. I mean, it had to be supernatural, because he's only 15 years old, and you could tell he really didn't want to tell anybody about it anyway, but this one rabbi that deals with that type of activity was having mm-hmm. him tell these other rabbis about who he met and all of this. And one of the interesting things was, and I won't go through the whole thing, I'll just say that on the way back, he was shown the attack on Israel, and it was the whole world was after Israel. And, you know, I've often wondered, and I'm not telling anybody this is true, I'm just saying I've often wondered, how could Obama, just being president of the United States only, have his finger in the pie of dividing Jerusalem or even an attack on Israel itself? How could he really be that involved, as some prophecies have indicated that he could be, until recently? And recently, I don't know if you heard about it, but he's now already, apparently, the news reports are saying, and this is coming from Tom Horn and others, is that he has already told the Democrats and the Republicans that he is going to try to become the new Secretary General of the United Nations by the end of this year, because December the 31st,
they need a new one, yes.
Korean, the South Korean guy, Park Moon or whatever his name is,
his
term expires, and they have to have a new leader of the UN, and Obama has already said he's running for it. He wants it. And
he read an article about Netanyahu is trying to short-circuit that.
That's true. And I found that in a number of reports. Bill Koenig has reported on it. Israel News has reported on it. A number of the different ones have reported that Netanyahu is going to all the Arab nations, and they're trying to short-circuit Obama's move to take over the UN. And at the same time, though, to get back to this 15-year-old boy named Nathan that did the video, what he said, he was told, and this is what he said, he was told that Obama would lead the attack on Israel, as one of the leaders of the attack on Israel, and that Obama would be killed and buried in Israel. And that blows your mind. But then the other thing was, he said that heaven told him that Obama is Gog of the land of Magog.
Well, I've heard that before.
And so that's bizarre. That's not really how we think things go. But it does show there's some movements, maybe prophetically, that we don't fully understand.
Well, I had trouble with it. I think I put it on a prophetic insider because, you know, if you follow the family lines, which a lot of these scholars have done, you end up in Turkey and you end up north going into the mountains of Russia. And who is, I guess you could dispute who's arming who, because it says, be thou a guard unto them, O Gog, chief prince of Magog. And I had heard, excuse me, a rabbi, when George Bush went over there, said something about he was Gog. So it's kind of interesting. Geographically, it doesn't make any sense. If you're following the, you know, the actual people who would come down against the mountains of Israel, but who knows? To me, if Obama is who I think he probably is, and I know he's Lucifer, because the king of America, or Babylon, and a lot of people don't want to admit that America is Babylon, doesn't make any difference whether they admit it or not, it is. The king of Babylon is called Lucifer. Now, the question is Lucifer and Antichrist one and the same? And I guess we don't know. We don't
know.
And wasn't it some Shiite clerics or whatever they are over there? Didn't they, several of them say that they thought Obama was the 12th Imam?
There are reports of that, and there are reports that that he may be the Mahdi, you know, before it's over.
Yes, yes.
Revealed as the Mahdi, and now I don't know, you know, I don't certainly don't know that. However, when you look at whose finger is pushing the caliphate, it appears to be Obama behind the scenes pulling the strings.
I think it is.
Him and Erdogan in Turkey. Yeah, him and Erdogan in Turkey. They seem to be the ISIS, those that are pushing ISIS and the caliphate and all of these changes. And your mind almost can't wrap around all those scenarios, you know?
Well, if in fact Obama becomes, let's say he is Antichrist, just for speculation, Antichrist runs the world. It's a global rule. And as I guess one could say that the United Nations is the only entity we have that is pushing for global rule. I mean, the Pope backs it. Everybody backs the UN. So if he became Secretary General of the United Nations, evoked emergency powers, then he would be the global ruler.
And the Pope would probably serve him. You know, there's a recent report out also that the Pope has said he's hunting a partner to partner with to rule the world. So all of this seems to be coming together at the same time.
Well, when I saw those two shaking hands there on 9/23, and when I look back at all of the movies, TV shows, everything pointing to 9/23, you remember all that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do.
And then everybody said, well, see, nothing happened. I totally disagree with that. I think one of the world's greatest prophetic events took place on 9/23 in Washington at exactly 9:23 a.m. in the morning Washington time. That was the announcement of the Beast and the New World Order when they shook hands. And then they go to Washington, they go to the United Nations, and they seal the deal. And maybe this is probably all in the cards. He probably will end up as Secretary General. That's amazing. I think we're going to see some things that people would just never, ever believe could happen here in the United States as well as around the world. Getting into earth changes, what in the world is going on? I mean, volcanoes are going off.
We've got more volcanoes, Stuart, going off and erupting than ever in history that I know of. Maybe not pre-flood, but recorded history as we know it. And we have, as you and I have talked before, we have literally left normal. There is nothing about the weather anywhere on this planet anymore that is even close to normal. And I'm even hearing talk from weather people like weather.com and NOAA and Space Weather and Fox Weather, and they're all talking a new term they're using. They're calling it the new normal. Have you heard that?
Yes, I have. And what else can they say? They have to use the word normal to sort of placate the general people. And I would have to say probably that the general people of America and probably around the world, it's true, do not monitor the weather or volcanoes or earthquakes on a global basis. And so because they do not do that, they do not understand the huge acceleration of events globally. So if it doesn't hit them locally, they're not aware of it. But when you look at this from a global perspective, it's hideous. Look at what's happening to England. Do you remember who was the scientist that said that the Gulf Stream had stopped?
It was reported by a number of people that that's exactly true. Matter of fact, you remember you did the Art Bell show, and you gave a criteria to Art Bell on his show about what would happen with Earth changes if we had a pole shift. And you know, right after your show with him is when he and Whitley Strieber did the book that brought the movie out on this massive Earth change situation.
Yeah, and it's coming. And they did this scientist had pictures of the Gulf Stream or the, I don't know, ocean currents, let's put it that, all over the world. They were beginning to break up. They were beginning to eddy. They were slowing down. And Europe and Russia and England and Norway are in for ferocious, well, even the east coast of the United States because of all these. And then you got the jet streams that are acting very, very abnormal. You've got the magnetic pole that's shifting much more rapidly now than it ever was. I can remember when I was flying jet aircraft, and this is some time ago now, but I do remember when we were first flying the jets that we could get over most squall lines, maybe 25, 26,000 feet. You could find a saddleback and go through. When I quit flying, those storms were at 45,000 feet. There were no saddlebacks, and you had to literally fly around all these squall lines. This is how rapidly the climate has changed.
I was just going to mention, too, now, you know, since you're talking about those massive high storms, now we've got so many pictures from the satellites and the ISS space station that are showing massive lightning coming out of the top of those storms now that they never reported before.
You know, sprites. They call those sprites.
Right. Yes.
And I guess I don't think we understand lightning. I'm a believer that James McKinney is absolutely right when he says that we live in an electric universe, and that kind of brings us into Planet X and Close Passage. But there's a fellow out there on YouTube who's done a lot of work on electrical discharges that would occur between planets. and that he believes that the big rift on Mars, Mars Vialis or whatever they call it, was actually caused by a close passage of another planet very close to Mars, and it, lightning bolts actually ripped up that rift and actually caused that huge volcano that's there, Olympus Mons.
Yes, I
don't think we have a clue as to what kind of a universe or multiverse we actually live in.
Well, I'll tell you what, James McCaney originally began coming out with that, talking about the comets and the activity of comets and all of this. And you know, then Stan Dale began to come out and say, he's right. He's exactly right. That's true. And so, yeah, a lot of this that we've been told or we've been taught is in error. It's not correct. It's not right. And those that are telling the truth and warning people, they're the ones under attack and have been for years now. I mean, it's a lot of those. Jane McCaney's pretty much had to just get quiet about a planet extra. But have you seen the news reports lately that they actually have found large planets now right at the edge of our solar system?
Yes, I did see that.
And
I'm wondering.
That's so funny, Stuart. You know, they declassified Pluto as a planet, and then when you've seen pictures of Pluto like we have recently, my Lord, not only is Pluto a planet, but even its moons look like planets or could be classified as small planetoids. And they must have declassified it because they already knew there was bigger planets on the other side of Pluto, but they couldn't tell about them. And it makes me wonder if that's part of the entourage.
That's what I was going to say. They've known about Planet X. Harrington of the Naval Observatory, remember, he went down, I think it was to New Zealand, and now they've got these infrared scopes down in Antarctic. And they've got pictures. I don't know, can't think of his name now. Marshall Masters does quite a bit of that. And
He does that, and also a guy named Gil Bassard lately has been doing some of the same data.
Well, have they actually seen it, do you think? Do they have pictures, actual pictures now that you can see? I've seen all these pictures of the sun
and
a little
and
ball.
And a lot of that, Richard Shaw has done, you know, Richard Shaw's in the photography in a really big way. I mean, he's a professional, and he's done a lot of the photography that people have taken normal cameras and different kind of cameras and digitals and iPhones and all kind of this stuff, and he has found that a lot of these really are just reflections and what he calls gleeps. But some of this stuff, though, they are saying that they do have some images that, you know, are showing some of this out there. So, you know. But, you know, it's still a secret as far as any of the government. They're not telling people. They're not telling anything. And so we just have to wait. But Gil Bassard and some of those are saying that possibly February into March, we may actually begin to be able to see some of this activity, and it'll be exposed. So I don't know. I can't say. But we'll really see.
It does make you wonder. I mean, why are they in such a rash rush building all these underground cities and tunnels that go for thousands of miles? Why are they moving parts of Washington to Denver, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, they're spending literally trillions of dollars of black budget money, seems to me, just to protect themselves while they leave us outside to kind of watch this thing go down and get rid of us.
Well, one of the biggest pushes right now, the biggest push on the whole planet is what they're calling, it was global warming, but they've changed the name now to climate change crisis. And they just recently had a meeting, you know, in Paris over this, and Obama was big in that. And there are rumors on the back burners that the climate change is what we are just talking about that's going to change all of this that's coming in. The incoming is actually what they're referring to. They're not talking about long-term climate changes. they're talking about something that's coming that's going to change the climate drastically quickly.
Well, of course, if we have a close encounter with a planet, you might remember Ed Dames, Dr. Doom, and his kill shot. You know, he claimed that there was a space object. Now, Red Elk said the same thing, that he saw what looked like at first. He thought it was the moon. Mm-hmm. And Ed Dames said the same thing, that some large space object comes very close to Earth and then kind of, I guess, careens into the sun and releases an entire series of huge CMEs.
Which could be Ed Dames saw as the kill shots, one after another.
Yes. And, you know, this Planet X, or whatever you want to call it, this entourage, they claim it has like three or four planets. And who knows how much space debris and asteroids and little comets it has with it. But there was a guy that was doing a crop circle interpretation. And if I recall it right, he said they might be able to see it in early December. And if not, it would be like in April.
I remember that.
And I'm a little bit curious as to the passage of this thing with Passover. If you go back and you look at what that was all about, it makes you wonder if this isn't connected in some way to the passage of this Planet X or Planet of the Crossing, Nibiru, whatever you want to call it. And have you had any more reports on alien encounters at all? Or have you had any strange events down there?
It seems like, you know, L.A. Marzulli and Richard Shaw and the Watcher series, they began having reports of what they call black-eyed children encounters. Children with black eyes with no pupils, you know. And then here recently, there's more and more reports coming in. Of course, these reports come in kind of like Sasquatch. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're here and there, and, you know, there's not a lot of proof. There's not much photography, blah, blah, blah. But there are more reports of it. It reminds me, Stuart, of hybrids, some kind of hybrid. And of course, you know, Roger Lear's gone now. He passed away, and he was doing the implant. You remember the movie Taken that Spielberg did, that had Tom Horn's aunt telling about her abduction and all? And you remember in that movie how they took that one implant out and it began to move and change and kill everybody or whatever?
Well, yeah,
before he died, you know, they had removed a number of implants from people, and Roger had told Richard, and of course I guess it's common knowledge now because I've had Richard tell it on my radio show, Richard says that Roger claims that all of these implants begin to change and morph in their containers.
Really?
Yes, and not only that, he said that they began to give signals, some kind of frequencies. They were beginning to give frequencies, changes of frequency. And really, Roger Lear never did believe that these implants were literally to track people. He said that those that were putting them in were too far advanced. They didn't need that. You know, he said he felt like these implants had something to do with changes in DNA.
Uh-huh. I believe that. If they can change the DNA, then we're back to as it was in the days of Noah, because that's what those guys were doing. They were altering the DNA. They were fooling around with DNA. They were, you know, you hear about the chupacabra, for example. And you remember the South American governments, all two or three of them got together and said that the CIA was the one who was manufacturing these things?
I remember that.
Remember that?
Underground.
Well,
underground, that's right.
Yes, that's right. And they had knowledge of it, and they accused the CIA of doing all this stuff. Well, I don't know if it was CIA, who it was, intelligence agencies anywhere behind it. Well, if they can manufacture a chupacabra, why can't they manufacture an alien gray?
That's true.
Why can't Why can't they, manufacture just about anything they want? So, we're getting to the point now where advanced technology and the altering of DNA is merging with the ancients. Like Tom Horn, transhumanism. Well, it's not just transhumanism. It's totally altering the human being to where they aren't human beings anymore. It's almost like, what was the movie? The Arrival. You remember that? Where they were chemtrailing and everything to alter the environment.
That's exactly right.
I don't know. Well, what do you think, Larry? Got any parting words? We're going to have to shut down here in about 5 minutes.
Okay. I'll tell you what, this has been good. I appreciate you doing this, Stuart. I think we've given some people some more things to think about. What do you think?
Well, I hope so. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with the Christians these days. It seems like as we get closer and closer and closer, and as more and more prophecy is fulfilled, that they're kind of running away.
It gives flavor, or you feel like you're getting an odor of apostasy. And what that really does mean.
Well, that's probably the polite way of saying it. I think the great apostasy is upon us. But it does seem that this
away.
Been, yeah, the
I,
great.
I think we're in that. We are certainly, if we're not in the day, we're in that season. I can safely say we're in that season.
Yeah, and the hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ is just. It's going insane, but that's
well,
kind
it
of
seems
like
to be, Stuart. I saw your article, Hatred for the One True God,
yes.
that you had just put out, and it does seem that way. It seems like now though, these people that are against the Lord and His people, they have gone insane. It's like there's a spirit, a demonic spirit that has taken them over, and there's no discussion. I mean, they just literally hate.
I know. Well, you kind of indicated that kind of, well, it's kind of like the attitude that was sweeping the police forces, that it was not to help and serve, but rather us against them and the general population, of course, being them and the police forces being us. Do you keep in contact with any of your people in blue at all as to what's going on out there?
A lot of them, well, a whole lot of them have left. And just like a lot have left the military, a lot of those that I knew that really believed in helping people and to protect and serve, as I called it. Now, that's an archaic term now, but that's what we did. And those that have been loyal to that have pretty much all retired or got out or changed jobs. And the ones we're left with are mostly now those that the state has trained, if that says anything.
Okay. So if the state, Obama has replaced how many of our top-ranking military officers in all four services? I mean, it just...
It's so many. So many.
So why can't the people see what's going on, that there's a coup underway?
I believe that they're in such denial. They're in such denial, Stuart, that literally it's almost like something's happened to their perception of reality. It's like it's not even real anymore. They're looking at... It's almost like they're looking at... When they walk on the streets... In other words, when you and I go out on the streets and we look around, what we see is not what they see. They're on the same streets, but it's like they're watching a hologram play out. That's something that's really not real.
Yeah, unfortunately, say we got to do this again one of these days.
Yeah, let me know. And this has been interesting, and would love to do another one.
Yeah, I think it'd be a lot of fun. Maybe we can get Augusto in on it or Stan again. We should do another one of those roundtables. That really worked.
That would be really good, and maybe we could get Augusto and maybe Richard Shaw himself too, and talk to him about some of the stuff he's been involved with.
Okay, well, I guess I got to go here. So thanks for coming on board, Larry. Really appreciate it.
You've got it. God bless. Bye-bye.
Yep, take care. Same to you.